Minor Phileas Lovegood," he said, extending a hand to Harry. "My daughter and I live just over the hill. So kind of the good Weasleys to invite us. But I think you know my Luna," he added to Ron.
"Yes," said Ron. "Isn't she with you?"
"She lingered in that charming little garden to say hello to the gnomes. Such a glorious infestation. How few wizards realize just how much we can learn from the wise little gnomes, or, to give them their correct name, the Gernumbly Gardensi."
"Owls do know a lot of excellent swear words," said Ron, "but I think Fred and George taught them those." He led a party of warlocks into the marquee as Luna rushed up.
"Hello, Harry," she said.
"My name's Barney," said Harry, flummoxed.
"Oh, have you changed that too?" she asked brightly.
"How did you know?"
"Oh, just your expression," she said.
Like her father, Luna was wearing bright yellow robes, which she had accessorized with a large sunflower in her hair. Once you got over the brightness of it all, the general effect was quite pleasant. At least there were no radishes dangling from her ears. Xenophilius, who was deep in conversation with an acquaintance, had missed the exchange between Luna and Harry. Bidding the wizard farewell, he turned to his daughter, who held up her finger and said,
"Daddy, look, one of the gnomes actually bit me."
"How wonderful! Gnome saliva is enormously beneficial," said Mr. Lovegood,
seizing Luna's outstretched finger and examining the bleeding puncture marks.
"Luna, my love, if you should feel any burgeoning talent today, perhaps an unexpected urge to sing opera or to declaim in Mirmish, do not repress it. You may have been gifted by the Gernumblies."
Ron, passing them in the opposite direction, let out a loud snort.
"Ron can laugh,"
said Luna serenely, as Harry led her and Xenophilius toward their seats.
"But my father has done a lot of research on Gernumbly magic."
"Really?" said Harry, who had long since decided not to challenge Luna or her father's peculiar views. "Are you sure you don't want to put anything on that bite, though?"
"Oh, it's fine," said Luna, sucking her finger in a dreamy fashion and looking Harry up and down. "You look smart. I told Daddy most people would probably wear dress robes, but he believes you ought to wear sun colours to a wedding for luck, you know."
As she drifted off after her father, Ron reappeared with an elderly witch clutching his arm. Her beaky nose, red-rimmed eyes and feathery pink hat gave her the look of a bad-tempered flamingo.
"And your hair's much too long, Ronald. For a moment I thought you were Ginevra. Merlin's beard, what is Xenophilius Lovegood wearing? He looks like an omelette. And who are you?"
she barked at Harry.
"Oh yeah, Auntie Muriel, this is our cousin Barney."
"Another Weasley. You breathe like gnomes. Isn't Harry Potter here? I was hoping to meet him. I thought he was a friend of yours, Ronald, or have you merely been boasting?"
"No. He couldn't come."
"Made an excuse, did he? Not as gormless as he looks in press photographs, then. I've just been instructing the bride on how best to wear my tiara,"
she shouted at Harry.
"Goblin maid, you know, and been in my family for centuries. She's a good-looking girl, but still French. Well, find me a good seat, Ronald. I'm 107, and I ought not to be on my feet too long."
Ron gave Harry a meaningful look as he passed and did not reappear for some time. When next they met at the entrance, Harry had shown a dozen more people to their places. The marquee was nearly full now, and for the first time there was no queue outside.